trust you are well. Thank you, Clarence, and your team. When we, well, we can you do an amazing job. Thank you, guys. It's nice to see all the young people also in our team, especially like Divan and so forth. So when we worship this song in the Afrikaans service, it was such a blessing because I thought, now is my sermon now in sync with Clarence's song selection or his song selection with the sermon? But it seems that what we have in our hearts are quite the same thing this morning. So I just want to ask therefore the team there at the back, if you can just show us those words again. I just want to read through it again. They're from Spirit Lead Us, because the name of my sermon is, you know, Following Jesus. So it says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Now, here's the thing. What we do, we say, Lord, lead us. Father, guide us. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Okay? So we give the ball to our Lord Jesus, and we say, Lord, lead us. And then when Jesus starts to lead us, we say, give back the ball. This is dangerous. I want it back. It's safer. Does it happen sometimes? Afrikaans crowd seem to be very aware of it, that it does definitely happen in our lives. So I believe it's really something where we say, Lord, lead us, where we have to say, Lord, I will count the cost and I will follow. And that's not always easy. It really comes at a price. And I'm going to share a little bit this morning, testify from my own life regarding, you know, the past season and a few things that I've learned. But I want to start off by reading this morning from Matthew 26, verse 37 to 39. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, I believe in the context of this scripture, Jesus lived, he was fully man, he was fully God at the same time, and his life, he was living his life up to this point. It's like a crossroad. One of the most important things, what Jesus had to do here, and he had to be obedient. But we can all see, it didn't come cheap. It didn't come as something easy. Okay, all the motorbike fans, everyone looking out of the window. Okay, thanks, Anthony. I appreciate your honesty there. We'll give a moment for everyone. But nevertheless, you know, many times I think my wife shared with me after about the fourth or the fifth time she went for a driver's license many, many moons ago, she felt like this. Lord, can this cup please pass me? Maybe Pastor Yaku asked you, can you do the announcements? And that morning, you pray that you will get sick, or that your tummy, that you just don't have to stand up here and maybe talk in front of a lot of people. We all get challenges where we, from time to time, my father, many, many years ago, I don't know what happened, but he had to write, at university, he had to write maths. And for some reason, he got the time wrong. And, you know, he just could write about 40, you know, let's say 3/4 of the exam, and then the time was up. And until recently, I think he still wake up sometimes and then he dreamt he was late for that exam. And I think many of us have things where you see this mountain and you have this deja vu feeling of something. Please don't let this happen. May it be a dream. Can I please, maybe that rapture will happen right now or something like that. I think it happens to all of us. But here we can see something very, very serious, something very honest in Jesus' heart. And that was that he was afraid. Scripture says, he says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. And then he later on, he said, Father, if it's possible, can this cup please pass me? And then we read on a little bit later in verse 42, again for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And it was such a significant moment here in eternity. Jesus had to be obedient to the eternal plan of the Father of dying on a cross that me and you can receive salvation, that we can be set free, that we can be born again. And, you know, I think if we check in our own lives, our friends' lives, if we even read in Scripture, we will see men like Moses, you know, when he had to go to the Pharaoh. It seems that he was afraid and he felt like, God, I can't speak before this mighty king. And he said, Lord, and God provided him Aaron, okay? And then also if we look at Jonah, you know, the task that he get or that he got, and his heart wasn't in it. He was also afraid, and we know the story. And in our own lives, and that's why it's so precious that we sang the song, Spirit lead me, and then it said to a place without borders. Now, many times we will say, God, lead me, but God, don't make me do this, or don't make me do that. You know, we've got so many reservations. And I think God can only work with us up to the place where we are willing to say, yes, God, your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives. And it isn't always easy. We read here in Matthew 6, verse 18, something I read a while ago, and it says that, I'm not going to just read the last bit, and it talks about God who sees in secret. Now, if I ask Mark this morning, Mark, please be a nice guy and submit here in church when the pastor asks you to walk there and go back. Mark will probably do it. He's a nice guy. Okay? Yes. But, you know, say for instance, Mark had something on his heart. So then you all heard it. So you all can watch. Will Mark do it? Yes or no? And we're not going to put Mark to the test because he will do it. But if you're in your quiet time and the Holy Spirit lays something on your heart, what you need to do, then everybody doesn't know except if you share it with someone. And then that person can keep you accountable. And maybe you also had a place in your life where you thought, I wish I didn't have this information, you know? Because when I tell Mark once again, Mark, you're not allowed to hit someone with the fist. It's wrong for this and this reason. It's unbiblical, okay? Then Mark, no, he can't do it. But if we keep it in our hearts, you know, then it's between us and God. And we can't fool God because Scripture says here, our Father who sees in secret. So I'm going to talk a little bit about obedience today and following Jesus. I just want to read Matthew 26, verse 44. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And that just emphasizes what a big thing this was. I think we stand here today and we all know the gospel, we know the cross. But I don't know if you've watched the movie or a similar movie, Passion of the Christ, the one that Mel Gibson made many years ago. Guys, I'll be honest with you. I actually don't like to read this part in Scripture because I see those pictures of Jesus' body being beaten and broken there, and it kind of hurts. It's kind of hard to think about it. I don't know if you feel the same. Many times I read through a gospel, and when I come to Jesus' crucifixion, I'm like, okay, God, I know what happened there. I'll just skip to Matthew 28, where he said, go to the nations. It's much more easier to preach on, in a certain sense. You hear what I'm saying? This is something that cuts deep. Jesus' blood was red. He was a man like you and me in every way, but at the same time, he was fully God. He knew he couldn't say, God, I'm not going to do it. He had to do it because that was what was prophesied, and that is what me and you need to come to Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we read, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And this is this beautiful exchange of Jesus hanging there on a cross where actually me and you had to hang. Okay, Jesus hung there in our place. So I want to share a little bit. You know, October is a very special month to me because in the natural, my birthday is in December. But my spiritual birthday, which I believe we can also celebrate, is on the 24th of October. That means it's about in 6 days' time, I would be 13 years old as a Christian. So it's worth celebrating because it's quite a significant thing that happened in our lives. When the day when we say, yes, to be a Christian or to come to Jesus, John 3:3, to be born again. And at the same time this year, last year, I was battling. I was having a hard time. Now, if I can give, for those of you who are maybe zone coaches or small group facilitators, you know, if we sit in a small group and you have this, let's say, mask on, and you are now the leader, and, you know, we have this, I'm perfect, I never get anything wrong, what will the rest of the small group be like? Exactly the same. But if you say, you know what, guys, I missed it this week. I sinned. I got it wrong. I did A, B, or C. Okay? And you're honest and you're transparent. Then you open it up for other people to be the same. I would always honor Pastor Sias, that was LaRue, that's been, when I was at Stellenbosch University studying in the early in ministry, he was many times so transparent, and he said, he got this wrong, he made this mistake, he felt he disappointed God, and I was like, he's a pastor, how can it be possible? But this side of eternity, we will all fall short. We will all fail from time to time. And if we're honest, we need to grow, and then also the people around us can grow. And if you're honest and you open up, then people around you will do the same. Because if we have this I'm perfect attitude, then other people, you know, feel intimidated to share. Just something on the side. Oh, be transparent in your small groups about what God is doing in our lives. I like it. I love it when Tube last week preached on all the serious stuff, and he was so honest. It really cut deep. So I'll also try to preach a good sermon today. Thanks, man. But what I actually want to share about is, you know, from time to time in our lives, we battle a little bit and then we go on again. But from time to time, we really get to a crossroad in our lives. And then it looks like the slide like that. It says this way, that way, the other way. And you really don't know which way to go. Anyone been at a place like that? Last year, I've been 4 or 5 honest people. The rest of you are perfectly on course, never getting anything wrong. But I'm preaching for the 5 of us. So, or you can get to the slide, the next one. I think that man is walking away, and there's no direction. If he didn't know, there's no, I don't think he had the GPS or anything like that. And sometimes we feel like that, alone, deserted, not full of inspiration, empty. You kind of battle with your own mind, your own thoughts, your flesh, and you just get deeper into that hole sometimes of not knowing, should I go left or right? Should I stay? Should I go? Etc. And that is perfectly normal. That's normal for us. And God allow circumstances like that in our lives that we can grow. The reason is, if we have that perfect, beautiful picture of someone on a beautiful beach there in the Seychelles or somewhere with the pina colada in the hand and the hang mat and the white beach, we all think holiday, rest, that's fine. But that's not when God is building our character. He's building our characters many times when we're at a place like that. God, should I build this house or not? God, should I change my job? God, is this my wife or not? God, I sinned in this way, and now I've got these decisions to make because I rolled my car the other day. Not me, I'm just talking. And what now? Now we need to make a serious decision. And we have this war in our minds. I also have a quick slide on that. You've got a war. We become double-minded many times. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I've seen it in my own life and I've seen it in many other people's lives. We really can't discern anymore. Is it now my flesh? Is it now God who's saying something to me? Or maybe the two get mixed up or whatever. And you really don't know what to do. And then the last one, or the second last one, let me see, what is the next one? Sometimes the hardest thing and the right thing are the same. Stop smoking. Eating more in a controlled way. Start to exercise. Whatever the case might be, sometimes the hard things is also the right things to do. And if I look at the last slide, this is very good advice. It says, whatever you decide to do, make sure it makes you happy. You should throw me with oranges right now. I see one elder at least raising his eyebrows, thinking, what does this man say? No, it's heresy. It's wrong. Okay, because this is what the world says all the time. You just do what makes you happy and make you feel good and then you can be happy, you can be a better person. In a sense, almost God wants to bless you. But that's not the way I see it in Scripture. That's not the way I experience it in my own life, and definitely not the way we will experience it in life. Okay? To make the right decisions is tough. It's really hard many times. So if you ever see something like that where it says, you just be happy and something like that, throw the guy with oranges who's saying something like that, it's not biblical. Many times we'll have a fight like Paul have in Romans 7 where he says, the things that I really don't want to do, those things I do. And otherwise, the things that I shouldn't, you know that argument, the things pointing to each other, fighting this fight. God, I don't want to do this, but I battle with it. So I fall from time to time. And I guess I'll give you everything I have that all of us sitting here has sinned in the past week. We all will fall short, okay? But praise God for what happened on the cross. It's not condemnation in any way. I'm talking this morning about a battle, a fight that we all fight. And as I said last year, this time, I stood at the place where I felt kind of discouraged. I felt tired and burned out. I wasn't sure anymore if I actually wanted to be in ministry. I was offended with a few people. And you know what? Stuff like that happens. And it's really hard because these thoughts go in our mind around and around. And you think, God, where are you? Should I go left or should I go right? What do you want me right now to do? But you know, the good news is God is eternal. God is omnipresent. God knows what tomorrow looks like. We can't forecast the weather even perfectly for the next 10 days. But God knows what it will be. So last year, I remember round about this time. That's why I'm testifying to share a testimony with you. So when the December holidays here, middle December started, I just said to my precious wife, well, I'm going to stop to try and figure out what the next step will be, what exactly God wants us to do. Because there's always the flesh, and it will tell us, well, you've got this ability or you've got that desire or passion for something. There's many other things to do in life, and we can get very distracted. So I said to you, you know what, let's just spend time this holiday with God. We just spend time, stop to try and figure it out. And I remember it so perfectly. And now you must hold your oranges once again, all the people living in Swakopmund for a few years. You know, I was sitting there the one evening, and it was a hot December holiday. We lived in Windhoek at that stage. And my wife was there fiddling with her phone and doing something. And I remember I was reading a book, and I actually put it down. And I felt it so clearly in my spirit that the Lord said to me, you're going to have to move to Swakopmund. In my spirit, I felt 100% sure that it was God speaking to me. And right here, I felt like Mike Tyson hitting me with his best shot. Because not very long ago, I said, I'll never, ever move to Swakopmund. Okay, so now you can raise the hands again. Who of you felt that you sometime in your life said, God, I will never do this, and then God led you there? God does it sometimes. If you want to challenge God, in a sense, you just say, I will never move to Cape Town. You'll end up there sometime. Okay? Because God wants those things out of our flesh. I was really happy in Windhoek. My kids were enrolled for grade one. My father lives there. My family lives there. And the sun shines every morning when you open your eyes. The rain only comes from 12 o'clock and later. Okay? So I love that. I enjoy that. I felt that's where I should have been. I was there for about 6.5 years. And I felt it so clearly. God speaking to my heart. Now, that's that moment what I spoke of where we can just say, yeah, well, God, I guess it was another voice. And you kind of hope it was. Because Scripture says we are body, soul, and spirit. Okay? God didn't speak to my flesh. My flesh felt that Mike Tyson hitting me like, oh, God, that's not what I want to hear. Because I remember we had I think Mark was still there. In September last year, we had a Blaze conference there in Windhoek. And I remember Pastor Mac and Udine were there. And we were talking through a few things. And, you know, I still remember my own words. I will never move to the coast. Yes, I will never move to the coast. So, and here I stand today. So, it's so important that we discern what is hard for our flesh, what we don't want to hear, and what God says. Jesus was here obedient until death. It is so important that he did what he did. And I'm so thankful today that I can testify on saying, yes, Lord, I will ignore what Mike Tyson did and took the wind out of my lungs. I want to be obedient to what you said. And many times, it's really hard. That's why I put in that slide about the happiness, which is a lie. Okay? Yes, you can be happy, and God isn't angry with us all the time. So we will, if we sow, we will reap. If we sow good stuff, we will reap good things. Okay? That's a biblical principle. But you know what, guys? God is more interested in building our character, in making us Christ-like and becoming like him. So if you are very stagnant, and I tend to be a little bit like that. I like my comfort zone. I don't like to all the change in my life. But you know what? It was more difficult for me to move 380 kilometers from Windhoek to Swakopmund than 7 years ago when I moved 1,500 from, say, Cape Town to Windhoek. It was more difficult to me because both times I knew that it was God speaking. But you know, I think when we're younger, you know, we tend to be, yes, God, I'll do it. And then sometimes when we grow a little bit, we want to trust our own experience. And yes, God, you called me for Windhoek. I love this place of sunshine. I've got a heart for the people here. I remember Pastor Hercules Opperman. He also preached here around about February. Remember when we did the leaders training and then that Sunday he preached. And I remember he was a pastor in Worcester in South Africa. And then he had to move to our head office in Stellenbosch. And I remember Hercules once told me the story and he said, But God, I've got a heart for the people here in Worcester, not for Stellenbosch. You know, that's how we feel many times. We say, Lord, Spirit, come and lead me. And then when God starts to lead us, we say, oh no, God, it wasn't you. Give the decision-making back to me, God. I want to hold back here. This is really not a comfortable thing. So last year, we went through it, and I instantly knew I didn't even have to pray a lot about it. I knew it was God speaking to me. And it's so important that we learn to discern when it's our flesh and when it's God speaking. About 5 January, I phoned my best friend, Pastor Jaco van Rooyen in Swakopmund. I said, how was the holiday? No, it's fine. Yes, it's hot here in Windhoek. We haven't seen any rain. So, Jaco, are you sitting? God says I must come to Swakopmund. Yeah, okay. And, you know, from there, it went through all the decisions and stuff. And I didn't really understand it at that stage. But, you know, they say hindsight is a perfect science. And if I look back, I can see it was time for a new season there in Windhoek. And I think Pastor Philip Gerber is doing a wonderful job. And for reasons for God's own, I believe he sent me and my wife here. And I believe always where God sent us, he wants to work in our hearts. He wants to make us grow. So I want to encourage you today, you know, to really go and to count the cost on this thing. When we pray about stuff, when we say, God, I want to be obedient. I wanna do your will. Spirit, come and lead me. And then, you know, when God is leading us somewhere, that we will say, yes, Lord, I'm not sure about exactly how things are going to work, but that it will be a good place. It might be hard. It might be tough. And I want to testify, you know, from my kids that changed school, I think many people said, but you can't move your children in grade one. It's not a wise decision, etc., etc. But I believe in every area of our lives, my wife and I, we feel we made the right decision. We feel blessed. We go to bed at night with a feeling, yes, God, we know we did the right decision. And guess what? The sun is actually shining in Swakopmund. I guess I just, the previous years, got all the days when it was misty and cloudy and cold, and I thought it looks like that every day. But this is something really important, and God knows better, you know. God is our Father. He knows exactly where he wants to lead us and guide us. And just going back to that moment of Jesus on the cross, you know, I believe in a sense, Jesus also was a boy when he was younger. He played around and he probably had free will in a certain sense, but in another sense, he had to be obedient to the Father. And God gave us a free will as well. And that's why, you know, when they wanted to arrest Jesus, you know, Peter pulled out his sword or knife and he cut off the guy's ear. And Jesus said to him, you know what? I can call 12 legions of angels. I can defend myself. But he knew he had to do what is right. He had to knew what he was destined for, you know. And I think one of the big, beautiful things God spoke to me about this year was Ephesians 2 verse 10. I've mentioned it quite a few times. And I just believe that is where we can say, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he predestined, that we should walk in them. And I believe if we get to a place of that place where God, you know, we're like an arrow God is shooting, and he wants to shoot it to a specific place. God doesn't do the shotgun thing where he just shoots and hopes some of it will fall on good ground or a good place. God has got something specific for all of us. And right now, I can say without any doubt in my heart, for right now, this is where I should be. In ministry, here in Swakopmund. But do you know where you need to be? What is God speaking to you about? Are you at a place of a crossroad in your life? Do you face a decision that is really hard and you feel you know, if you have a pool of water and the water is crisp and clear and you look in that water, you can see your own face. But if you fiddle in that water, it becomes muddy and then you later on, you can't see yourself in there. And you know, many times we fiddle so much with the things around us and the decisions and where God wants us that we really become confused. And I really trust that God will help some of us here this morning in terms of big, difficult questions in our own lives. Over the past few days, we had the Foundation 3 course running Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday most of the day. And I love it always, you know, when we come to God as a broken vessel, and then he mends us again. He put the parts together. He brings healing to our broken hearts. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't done it in a while, I think once a year, God actually has to come to us, and he has to mend certain parts of our lives and our hearts. Just coming back from the Pastor Summit in South Africa a week or two ago, you know, I can be honest, and I can testify and say, we have to pray for some pastors. We have to pray for some marriages. We have to pray for some circumstances. It's because we all fail. We all get things wrong. We all come to those crossroads and think, God, do I need to go left or right here? What is your will for me? And then God is so gracious. Many times we do take the wrong turn off. You know, just thinking of an example Pastor Fred used yesterday, and he said, you know, if you jump off a building, and you fall yourself to pieces there, and you live. Many times we want to point our finger to God and blame him. No, God didn't kill you. Gravity killed you. You're going to crash and fall into pieces every time. Many times we make decisions of our own, and then we want to say, God, but why did you allow this? If we sin, there's consequences for our sin. If you miss a turnoff in your life regarding where God wants to lead you, you can repent and you say, God, I was disobedient. I didn't listen to you. And guess what? God will give you a second chance. If you repent and you turn from your sin, if you come back to the Father, he will give you another opportunity and say, Carl, I want you in Swakopmund right now. Because I've got a free will. I can put off the mic right now, walk out, and I guess look very bad. Or one of you can walk out or something. God gave us that free will. So we can make decisions. But if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And I believe that he will reveal his will for us. So a bit later on, I really want to pray with some of us and trust that God will bring clarity. Scripture says we shouldn't be double-minded. Sometimes we become so double-minded, and I was there last year. I said to my wife, do you think we should move there or should we go there? Swakopmund wasn't on the list, by the way. It wasn't even an option. Until that evening, I felt God speaking to my heart. And I believe if I look back in my life, it's just one of the many miracle moments where I believe God just supernaturally took me here by the neck and he said, I need to help this guy now. He's now confused. Because he's a father. He's got that father's heart. And, you know, when we were in Rundu last year, I remember Ulrika, my little girl, she was 4 then, and she was swimming. She had one of these life vests on. But the thing was actually a little bit too big for her. And I don't know what happened, but we were standing talking next to the swimming pool. And then she went back, and she couldn't get, you know, up straight again. And then she just gave this life-threatening hell, what do you call it? Sy het geskree. And, you know, being a father, I was standing there, praise God, my cell phone or my keys weren't in my pocket or something. I just jumped in right there with all my clothes and just hold her and got her up straight again. I didn't even think about it. That's what we do. That's what the Father do. And I believe God the Father also from time to time, and I'm saying it with respect, but he looks at us and he says, I need to take this guy now by its neck. Otherwise, he's going to take a real foolish decision. And this, that last part of grace where God will send us people with a word, with a warning to help us. And then even if we fail and we make the wrong decision, you know, he will take us back like the prodigal son. If I can give you real good advice this morning, all of us need to walk in a place of accountability. You know why? Some of the reasons I'm still standing here are a few good pastor friends. Pastor Mac Adami, Pastor Christoph van der Merwe, Pastor Andries, Pastor Andries van der Merwe, I remember last year, about January, I think he came, Shofar pastor in Hermanus, flew up to Windhoek, and he was preaching there, but we just went to go and sleep in the bush, let's call it go camping. And you know, the time I spent with that man, it just brought so much clarity to my mind again. So don't walk like this, isolated. I can guarantee you're going to make foolish decisions somewhere. That's why we're a church, we're a body, we've got many parts. And if you are wise this morning, get someone that's more mature, that you can talk to. And sometimes I prayed with a man older than myself in the previous service, and he just said, I need a word of God regarding this because I don't know. And you know what? That's the right thing to do. You know, what did God say in the, you know, Cain and Abel right there in Genesis? You know, the one brother killed the other one. And God said to him, where's your brother? How must I know where my brother is? God said, be your brother's keeper. And that's an important principle we need to understand, to be your brother's keeper. Because in the flesh, in this world, we want to live and we want to say, well, I've got degrees, I've got knowledge, I'm a manager, I can make the correct decisions. You know, but we all have blind spots. And then we get into trouble. So I want to encourage you, be accountable in your small group, be accountable in church, and it's okay to look bad from time to time and to tell someone, especially someone more mature, listen, I don't know. Some advice for the younger people. I was in an only boys school, at the university, in a men's race, and I, from time to time, I listened to you, and you guys will remember that, Stellenbosch. Then this guy, he now has got an eye on a very beautiful girl. And then he listened to all the other single guys' advice. And that's now the worst you can do. The worst advice you can get, because usually it was very unbiblical. But go and speak to someone that's married for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and ask that person about relationships, about how these things work. Okay? You need to make a financial decision or a spiritual decision, or if you just want to come and say, I'm clueless. I don't know which of these turnoffs I need to take right now. You can either die battling there on your own, get a maagseer, ulcer, what do you call it, or a heart attack or something, or you can be wise and walk to someone and say, I need help. I really don't know yet. So I want to encourage you. That's some of the stuff I'm so thankful God is still teaching me. Make sure there are men in your life or women in your life where you can go to, or people, even if you don't go to them, who will come to you and tell you, what are you doing right now? I can see you're making a wrong decision. And because I love you, I'm going to speak to you about this thing. You know, sometimes we don't want to hear. And I remember last year, a few times, one or two people spoke life to me regarding a few of the decisions I need to make. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear this because it's the right thing to do. Many times we are like that. So I just want to encourage us this morning. And I'm just going to quickly end off because it's so on my heart this whole week. Just if I tell one of you gentlemen here this morning, friend, I believe you're making a wrong decision, then I'll say it and I'll help you because I love you. And I want you for this thing to be solved in your own life. And right now, you know, we're the body of Christ and, you know, we don't want to criticize the rest of the body. But if churches do things that are unbiblical and unscriptural, you know, one of the churches in our country right now, you will probably know it, it's all in the newspapers, and I think we just need to say a word or two on it. If you make a decision and you say, we're going to allow homosexual people to get married or even preach from the pulpit, you know, now you can come and say, but maybe it's in your genes, maybe you're born like that. I'm not going to have an argument about it. But I do see in Scripture that God says marriage is for a natural man and a natural woman. In Shofar also, we're part of a group of churches where we believe in the Colorado statement of biblical faith that deals with these things. We say we believe as well that it is unnatural, as Paul is writing. But you know what? That's not what it's really about. That's not what it's really about. What it's really about, if most of us sitting here go to our grandfathers and we ask them, what do you think about this? I promise you, 95% of them would have said, no, it's wrong. It just tells us it's saying something to us about where society stands today. It's saying something to us. It screams out where, because even if it were a 50-50 decision, I will not go as they right now are saying, it's a decision based on love. If you love someone, you will help them to walk into the light. And I will rather go with what God says in His Word. All the scriptures regarding that topic where it says it's an abomination. I'll rather say I'll be a fool one day and I'll stand before God and I say, God, well, this is not what many other people are thinking, but God, I'll rather go with what you are saying. And that's the second thing. Or the first thing would be, it's difficult to be obedient to God. It's not always easy. And if we are honest, we all fail that. But I want to say to us as well, becoming or staying obedient to Christ will just become more difficult. Things like this, in my humble opinion, will just become more. That's what Scripture says. That's what has been prophesied. I'm not saying when Jesus is coming back. I just know we're living somewhere in the end times because it's been the end times now for a very long time. And in our country, right now, I promise you, there's probably not fear in anyone's heart right now because you're sitting in a Christian church. But if you were in Pakistan or Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia or many, many other places in the world, you would have been looking around your shoulder because our lives would have been at stake. Okay? You won't see in the media how many churches get burned, how many Christians get killed. We are very privileged. And I believe that God is gonna draw us just closer to Him, and we're gonna constantly, if most of us, if we lived another 10, 20, 30, 40 years, I promise you, we're gonna have to be very full of God to stand up for what is right and wrong. It's very much easier to minister on things that is not so controversial, that is not so threatening. And here's the thing, this week, I had it so much on my heart, and I was reading many articles. You can go and read on Creation Ministries International. There's a few really good articles. You know, and many times people will use the argument, I'm born that way. Guess what, guys? We are all born that way. we all have a natural inclination to sin, to drink too much, to curse. I'll be honest, somewhere this week, something happened in our house, and I used the word, and my wife and my three children just looked at me, what a dad said right now? Man, and I had to repent to God and to them. It wasn't appropriate. We all fail. I'll be very, very honest. But I also believe that Jesus was at the place where he had to die on a cross to be obedient. I'm sure most of us haven't been challenged to that extent. Maybe you just came to a church with a weird name like ours. Okay, so go and do Encounter 2 or something and just get to know again what shofar actually mean. But I just sense if I look from my grandfather to my father's generation, they would have said this thing cannot happen in a church, in a country like ours. And if we look how fast it happened, then I want to say humbly and prophetically, people, what do you think will happen in the next 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years? Many times I read scripture and I think like, how will the Antichrist come and he will deceive everyone so easily? Well, go and look at the Transformers and the magic and all the superheroes and stuff in the children's programs these days. And then you will see, you can understand with his charisma and deceiving magical demonic powers, how he will come and deceive people. This thing is so sad to me, because I believe if you want to help someone, I need to tell you, sorry Mark, I'm on you this morning. Mark, there's sin in your life, let's talk about it. If I want to help you, I'm not going to help you by leaving you and saying, man, it's okay, Mark and Mark, I'll marry you. That's not helping someone, okay? I'm just going to be very honest with that. And as I said, it's difficult talking about these things. So being obedient to Christ in our generation will not become easier. When I was a small boy and I grew up, most of the schools and society had still a Christian feel on that. That thing is turning very fast right now, okay? We as Christians, we are swimming upstream. And as I say, we live in a place called Swakopmund. That is a blessing. But just go and read and research and go to Europe and all these places and you'll see the churches are empty. And the culture of this world isn't a Christian one. Go and Google it, Pastor John Piper, one of my heroes in faith, in a sense. He also have a few sermons on homosexuality. And he said, I remember, if I'm correct, in a country like Namibia, it's not same-sex marriages aren't allowed, eh, by law. Amen? Okay? But in America, when he speaks about it, he says, I'm going to say the unthinkable. I'm going to call it sin. Now, I believe God is pleased, because I will not go with what research says. I will go with what God's word is saying to us. So, people, this morning, I'm sharing a few things from my own life. Being transparent isn't always easy. Being obedient isn't always easy. And I want to encourage you. We all fail. We all get it wrong. We all get to turnoffs where we don't know left or right. And as that beautiful, beautiful, but powerful song just now went, God, let your spirit lead me. But then it doesn't help if we put a lot of fences and borders around it. And God will only lead you to a place where you know you can handle where he's leading you to. It was tough for me to say yes and to let go of a lot of things, let's say in the flesh, while I loved where I stayed before. But I know I'm in God's will. And that's the thing. When you go to bed at night, even though everything isn't perfect, that's the things that make you sleep well, if you know you're in God's will. Let's pray this morning. Father God, first of all, I just want to come and say thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace upon our lives, Lord God. Lord, that you come and take us by the neck or the arm or the hand, Lord, and you lead us from places where there's death and dangerous things, Lord God. Father, to be in your will, Lord God, also mean we need to take up our cross. Father, taking up our cross daily is one of the most difficult things in life, because we need to walk away from our pleasure, what we love, Lord God, and we need to say, yes to your will, and we need to say yes to your word, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you'll circumcise our hearts, that you'll take us through the Jordan to the promised land, Lord God. Father, you are not so interested in our happiness. You are more interested in building our characters, Lord God. And Father, the generation in this church right now, Lord, Father, I want to pray that you will strengthen us, Lord God, to stand up for what is correct, what is biblical, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you'll give us the grace and love to handle every and any person around us, Lord God, who's battling, who's caught up in sinful behavior, Lord God. Because every one of us was born like that, with a tendency to sin, to miss the mark. And that is why you died on that cross. Father, how can we say thank you, Lord God, for you being crucified, for your blood being spilled, Father. Father, I believe that we will only be able in eternity to know the full extent of what it means to be a son of a living God, to be in your presence in eternity, Lord. And I've prayed this morning, Father, for us as a church, Lord, that you will give us a burning desire, Lord God, to reach out to the lost, people who are not standing in a relationship with you. Father, that we will not look at their sin firstly, Lord God, but that we will see people who need to come to the Father through Jesus Christ. I pray that we can love them for who they are, that we will hate the sin, but that we will love the person, Lord God, that we will have compassion. Yes, Lord God, and I want to pray this morning, Father, for every person in this church who's standing at the crossroad right now, Lord, who's not sure about left or right, forward or backward, Lord. And Father, I actually want to thank you for seasons like that in our lives, that we can grow, that we can say, God, I haven't got a clue. And usually when we do that, Lord, you come and you speak to us. Your still small voice, come and speak clearly to our hearts, Lord. Father, to our flesh, it might feel like a blow and something that we don't want to hear. But Father, thank you for prophetically leading your church and leading us as individuals. I pray for our hearts and ears to be open, Lord, that we can hear and sense what you are saying to us, Lord. I pray for every person that's double-minded, Lord God, that has come to a place where we don't know what you are saying. We've got voices in our heads, Lord. And Father, from my own experience, Lord, I know it's easier to follow my own heart because it's so much easier. Where you lead us, it's not always easy. But Father, I also know that when we follow Jesus, Lord, that's the safe place, Lord. That's the place where we can go to bed at night and know, Lord God, we're in your perfect will. Even if there's waves around us and people are throwing stones at us, that we are in your will, that we are obedient. Oh Lord, help us to be Christ-like, to be like Jesus, Lord. Father, I pray for those borders in our lives. Lord, where we say, Spirit, lead us. And then we want to put fences and mechanisms in place not to follow. Lord, please come and break down those things one by one, that we can be vessels that you can use, Lord God. If you send us somewhere, that our response will be, I will go, Lord. I will go. I will take up my cross and I will follow, Lord. Lord, I pray for every faint heart this morning, for any person whose faith seems to be failing, Lord God. I pray that you will strengthen, that you'll come and take us in a way and send people around us where we can feel your love, Lord God. Lord, I pray for accountability in our church. Lord, that you will lay down our hearts to speak to each other, to bring decisions before each other and for asking for counsel, Lord. For this counsel, Lord, it's available for us. Lord, sometimes we feel ashamed to ask for help because we think, what will people say? But Lord, give us that boldness, Lord God, to be transparent, Lord God. Oh Lord, I thank you, Lord God, as we see or we saw in Foundation 3, Lord, that you are mending us, that you want to lead us on those paths of peace, Lord. Father God, sometimes we run to places where we get hurt. And Lord, I pray for every person like that here this morning, that you will come and restore, that you will come and heal. That you will come and, yes, Lord God, just bring healing to our hearts this morning, Lord. And as we are sitting here this morning, as I'm ending off, if you are here this morning and you feel it's like a massive wave that has hit you in the ocean, and you don't know what side is up or the bottom or left or right, and you really want to pray with someone, pray with the person next to you, or you're welcome to come to me afterwards, and I would love to pray with you. If you feel you're standing at that crossroad and you're just clueless about where God is leading you right now, pray with someone next to you, pray in your small group, or I would love to pray with you afterwards. God wants to lead us. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, he says, he knows where he wants to send us. We're his workmanship. And he's got a plan for our lives. So I want to hold it before you, church, today. When you go home today, later in the day, this evening, to go and say, God, I want to go where your spirit leads me, and that we will be obedient to that. That God will strengthen you. Amen. You must have